Although unborn, the Lord, the master of everything, appears like a born child by entering the mind of a devotee. The Lord is already there within the mind, and consequently, it is not astonishing for him to appear as if born from a devotee's body. The word Abhivesha signifies that the Lord appeared within the mind of Vasudeva. There was no need for a discharge of semen. That is the opinion of Sripad Sridharaswami and Srila Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur. In the Vaishnava Toshani, Srila Sanatana Goswami says that consciousness was awakened. In the Vaishnava Toshani, Srila Sanatana Goswami says that that consciousness was awakened within the mind of Vasudev. Srila Viraraghava Acharya also says that Vasudev was one of the demigods and that within his mind, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as an awakening of consciousness. Om Nagyana Dhyanasya Yamasvakaya Chakshurvita Vena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Swayam Rupa Kada Namayam Tisvara Padantikam Uttam Taloki Vachanam Amdham Gai Tigari Tatri Padam Amtham De Shayurum Diya Tatanam. So, Krishna has a plan. Krishna has a plan, Balaram. But what is the plan? What is the plan? Sometimes we can't see. Very often we can't see what Krishna's plan is. Just recently, and this is illustrated very keenly, felt recently with the passing of a devotee, Srivas Pandit. Many of you probably haven't heard of Srivas Pandit, but he was a leader of the Islam community in Myanmar. And he's deputy also, that's how I worked with him for the last probably 10 years, I suppose. Young, he would have been in his late 30s, and a very dynamic preacher, established, I don't know, a dozen temples in Myanmar, translating Prabhupada's books into Burmese, so, and publishing those books, distributing the books, and yet left his body on Tuesday, was it, or recently, a few days ago. He passed away as a consequence of cancer of the tongue, I believe. Tragedy, real tragedy. And he's very humble, lady, actually. He's been not well for a year or so. And his brother and sister, who live in Sydney, by the way. In fact, it's interesting. I was communicating with his father when his father was preaching in Samoa, when he was just coming to Krishna consciousness. His father was a doctor. I found out later on. But it was a real tragedy because he was a young man, brahmachari, you know, potential a leader within Islam, certainly within his own community, and had the makings of a GBC, of a leader of our international community. But gone. So everybody's thinking, what's going on here? How did such a promising, how did a devotee with such a committed devotee, so dedicated to Srila Prabhupada, who was a disciple called Guru Maharaj, dedicated to serving Srila Prabhupada, worked cooperatively with everybody, was loved by everybody, and what's Krishna's plan? So what is Krishna's plan? Anybody like to say?
When he pretenders.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that. Yes. In this case, we don't know. We don't know. Krishna is, directing the one as it's here. Videsha Junatishtati as the super soul is existing within everybody's heart. Right? And he's directing the one. And we know where he's going. We can tell where somebody has come from. But if we see devotees showing qualities of bhakti, of attachment to chanting Hare Krishna, attachment to serving, and detachment from material activities, then we know there must have been some bhakti in a previous life from. Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar Devotion that Guru Goswami mentions that bhakti is a cultivation over many lifetimes, and when a person is naturally attracted, Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita in the 6th chapter how a devotee will take birth again in a family of aristocracy or wealthy, or in a family of a devotee. So Krishna does have a plan, it's just sometimes we can't see it. And we see here, we see in this verse is a description of how Krishna appeared. Right? It's also quoted by Srila Prabhupada in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it's exactly the same description as that which occurred for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? Now, when Krishna appeared, he made sure that before his appearance, the demigods would take birth in Mathura and Vrindavan, so that his pastimes would be facilitated. Right? Krishna has a plan, and so therefore, in order to facilitate his lila or his pastimes, he made sure that first of all his devotees appear. An interesting point here, and a point that's discussed in this section of Bhagavatam, and also discussed by Krishna Das Kaviraj in the 13th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, that before his appearance, Lord Chaitanya made sure that his devotees were situated and living in Navadvip, so that when he appeared, then he'd be able to perform his pastimes with the devotees. Right? And in fact, we see in the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how he made sure that Madhavendra Puri took Ishvara Puri, his spiritual master, his family, his grandfather, Nilambara Chakravarti, his father, one person speak, because when 10 people speak, I hear nobody.
Jagannath
Mishra. Yes. How can I forget? Well, quite easy, actually. Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, right, appeared before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, who are the most prominent of Lord Chaitanya's associates. Yes, Nityananda. Who else? Advaita Acharya, yes, importantly Advaita Acharya. Who else? Haridas Thakur. Yes.
Murari Gupta.
Murari Gupta, yes. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the persons who are mentioned are Advaita Acharya and Haridas, primarily. And so those devotees appeared before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and under the leadership, because Madhavipuri and Ishwarapuri were somewhat outside of that group, but still appeared and had very important roles to play in the leela of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the devotees in Navadvipa were at that time led by Advaita Acharya, right? And Haridas. Very interesting, Haridas. We're discussing the nectar of devotion, and in the beginning of the nectar of devotion, the Haridas Thakur is a very interesting example. Haridas Thakur is an example of the universal principle taught by Lord Chaitanya. This is an active devotion. There's a knowing active devotion. The preface, it's right at the beginning. What is the universal principle taught by Lord Chaitanya? And you can guess it if you like. What's the universal principle? Especially in relationship, Haridas Thakur. Chanting Hare Krishna? Yes, but no. That's a universal principle, but not the one I'm looking for. You have to read the preface of the Nectar Devotion recently to know this point. The universal principle taught by Lord Chaitanya. What is it? What do you think it might be? Speculate, just guess.
Chanting Hare Krishna does not depend on any caste.
Yes, close, warm, getting. No. That's okay. It's no wrong answer to you. We're speculating on what the answer might be. Okay? No, it's not about chanting Hare Krishna. It's not about chanting Hare Krishna, although you know how to chant Hare Krishna being on this platform. What is it?
Is it love?
Huh?
Love. To show love to everyone.
Love, is it?
Yes, love.
Krishna loves everyone.
Yeah, to show love.
Yes, he does. Yes? Okay, I'll tell you. That, if you know the science of Krishna, right? Kiva vipra, kiva nyasi, Sudra Keni Noi Ye Krishna Tattva Vita Sei Guru Hoi. If one is a Brahmana and he doesn't know Krishna, what's the good of his qualifications as a Brahmana? But if one knows the science of Krishna, of course that's what the Nectar Devotion is all about, right? Then one surpasses the position of a Brahmana. Right? And this is what Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was known as the Namacharya. He was born in a Muslim family, yet he's known as what? Namacharya. Haridas Thakur is Namacharya. So, under the leadership of Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur, what did the residents of Navadvipa do before Lord Chaitanya's appearance? What did they do? Chanting Hare Krishna, very good. Got on top of the class. They chant Hare Krishna. What else did they do? They bathed in the Ganga, although that's not mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it's understood that that's what they did.
They prayed for the Lord to appear.
That's Advaita Acharya. that came later. What did they do? Chant Hare Krishna and study what? Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, which is what we do. This is what devotees do. This is what devotees have been doing time immemorial. Chanting Hare Krishna and studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in that environment, Advaitacharya was thinking, the people of this world are suffering. There's a mood of a devotee. A devotee knows the heart of Krishna. Right? And he knows what Krishna wants. And Krishna, as you mentioned, honestly, Krishna wants all of the devotees to come back to him. Of course, you know, many of the living entities, and we included sometimes, are in bewilderment. They think, I'm going to get relief from suffering and anxiety by enjoying material pleasures. Right. But this is described in the Nectar of Devotion as what? Chapala Sukha. Right? Flickering happiness. Right? So Advaitacharya was thinking, how can we save the conditioned souls, the fallen souls in Kali Yuga, in this fallen age? And, you know, in this context, they're chanting Hare Krishna, they're studying the Bhagavatam, and thinking of the appearance of the Lord, Advaitacharya came to the realization, the only way that people can be released from this bondage is if Krishna himself comes. Nobody else can do it. Nobody else can do this. Prabhupada gives the example, just like, you know, the king comes to the prison house and pardons the rogues and thieves. Right? So Advaitacharya was thinking, the only way that people can be released from their suffering and attain their heartfelt desire, which is to be happy, to be liberated from material anxiety, the only way that can be done is if the Lord comes himself. And Prabhupada mentions, you know, actually, it's interesting what Prabhupada mentions in the book for that verse. He mentions that either the Lord comes himself or he sends his empowered representative. Right. So, and this is how we recognize Srila Prabhupada as the empowered representative. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, but Prabhupada also appeared as the representative, as the empowered, I guess we could, you know, we could say Shaktiyavesh. You know, Prabhupada was endowed with that potency to spread Krishna, the name of Krishna, all over the world. So Advaitacharya was thinking, the only way this can happen is if the Lord comes himself. Or the Prabhupada clarifies that the Lord or his empowered representative. So Advaitacharya started to worship his, well, he was already, Prabhupada mentions, you know, this is a symptom of the Brahmana culture. In India, is that the Brahmanas worship what? Who do the Brahmanas worship? Starts with an S. Shalagram Shila. Yes, Shalagram Shila. And how did he worship the Shalagram Shila? And?
Water.
And? What else? What else? Flowers, he must have, but it's not mentioned. Flowers not mentioned.
My dress.
Huh? What do we worship the Shalagram with Jaris? What do we worship the Shalagram with?
Chandan.
Chandan, yes. We have at the top of the class, Shalagram with Jaris. Yes, it's mentioned in Prabhupada mentions. Water and tulsi, and Prabhupada says a little bit of chandan, right? And the Lord can be satisfied. Right? So while Advaita Acharya was performing his puja, he was also calling out to the Lord for the success of your mission, for the success of your purpose. Krishna, you yourself have to descend in order for you, for this, you know, and Advaita Acharya understanding Krishna's mission and Krishna's purpose. And that is, what is it? Paritranaya sadhanam vinashaya sadushkitam dharma samstapanataya sambhavam yuge. To release the devotees, to protect the devotees, and to destroy the demoniac, and to establish religious principles. This is Krishna's purpose. So Advaita Acharya was beseeching, imploring, crying out to... In fact, you know, there's that funny pastime. Where is it, where Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda go to Advaita Acharya's house for prasadam? Lord Chaitanya is saying, yeah, he only wants a small amount of prasadam. And Advaita Acharya says, we're only, you know, we're only a little bit. Huge amount of prasadam. And there's one interaction between Advaita Acharya and Lord Chaitanya, where Lord Chaitanya says words to the effect, you know, I was sleeping peacefully in Vaikuntha, you know, in the Karana ocean, you know, you woke me up and brought me here. Why are you swimming in public water? Humorous exchange. By Advaita Acharya's fervent prayers, then the Lord agreed to appear. Of course, he'd already arranged the circumstance where the devotees were already situated in their posts, if you like. And of course, his associates, his friends and other associates would appear also at the same time in order to facilitate Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes and, of course, the fulfillment of his mission, which is to... What is it? What's Lord Chaitanya's mission? What do you think? What's Lord Chaitanya's mission? First mission. You got it right already. What is it?
Chanting.
Yes. Chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Ivatibalam. Hello, Nasteva, 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 Katiya, Panita. So Lord Chaitanya's main purpose for appearing is to establish the chanting of Hare Krishna. And it's interesting, you know, in the purport. In the purport, in the purport to the verse where the description of Advaita Acharya is worshipping the Shalagram Shila, Prabhupada mentions how there are devotees in ISKCON who are keen to worship the Shalagram Shila. And Prabhupada mentions the importance of the deity worship. So Lord Chaitanya appeared to establish the chanting of Hare Krishna. I think Prabhupada says the chanting of Hare Krishna is more important than temple worship. Right? Prabhupada mentions this. But Prabhupada mentions third canto and also in the Chaitanya canto, that in order, and this is important because we see in the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the purity of the devotees that appeared before him, and also and especially the purity of Jagannatha Mishra and Sachi Mata, right? And how because there were such pure devotees, then the Lord was automatically manifest in their heart. Right? And when Lord Jagannath Mishra had a dream, and in his dream the Lord appeared within his heart. Right? And Jagannath Mishra describes how wherever I go, people offer me gifts and people offer me praise, and they want to look after me. Because Krishna was manifest within the heart of Jagannath Mishra, because he's such a pure devotee. He's described as a Nitya Siddha devotee. Right? Now, all of us aspire to be, I'm assuming, but all of us are aspiring to become pure hearted devotees. Right? And how do we do that? What's our main process for becoming pure hearted? Chanting. Yeah, chanting Hare Krishna. But Prabhupada makes the point. And sometimes we hear this philosophy. We don't need temples. Prabhupada said temples are not as important. All we need to do is go on Harinam. Have you heard this philosophy? Some of you have. If you haven't, you're hearing it from me now. But I'm going to defeat it based on the Shastra. Because yes, chanting of Hare Krishna is important. You know, sometimes the devotees quote, you know, Prabhupada said you can shut the temple. You can shut the temple. Right, yes, Prabhupada did say you could shut the temple. But Prabhupada didn't say you could close the temple. Right? There weren't enough devotees to both look after the temple and go on Harinam. So Prabhupada said, you can shut the temple, that doesn't mean close the temple. Everybody goes on Harinam, then come back and open up the temple. Right? Sometimes it's quite, Prabhupada said you can shut the temple, just go on Harinam. No. Certainly the chanting of Hare Krishna is important, and that's our main process, right? But why did Prabhupada put so much time and effort into establishing temples all over the world? Right? Even at the inconvenience, if you like, of his disciples. Right? Not to the benefit of his disciples. But when you think about it, you know, Prabhupada established Radhavallabha, Gaunitaya, Jagannath Balabha, and his disciples. But we didn't have, you know, we've got, I'm estimating 400 devotees chanting 16 rounds in this community. About right? You know how to work this out? By the number of devotees that came to the Christmas picnic. Right? And so, you know, a quarter of those devotees were doing book distribution, which is pretty, that's pretty far out when you think about it. 130 devotees were doing book distribution. Right? We have a sizable community of devotees, and so why did Prabhupada put all of this emphasis on establishing temples? We've got 400 devotees, say, chanting 16 rounds now, and even still it's a struggle to keep the deity worship, you know, afloat all the time. So what to speak of when Prabhupada established this temple, and it was a struggle. The devotees were going out on Harinam, they were getting thrown in jail, right? Because, well, you know why the devotees were getting put in jail? Why were the devotees getting put in jail? Parking tickets. Tickets, but not parking tickets. Because they were selling books, and it's illegal to sell books. Even now, it's illegal to go and sell books. I shouldn't tell them to sell books because they might get scared. the devotees were known as beggars, you know, and they were getting cleaning donations and whatever. And there were some devotees who couldn't go, they couldn't go on Harinam because the council inspectors knew who they were. And they would grab them on the Harinam and take them and put them in jail because they hadn't paid fines for soliciting collecting donations. So why did Prabhupada put so much effort into establishing temples even in the early days of ISKCON? It was difficult to maintain. Why don't we just all go and chant Hare Krishna? And the reason is because the deity worship is needed to purify the heart. So that's why we have a regulated, the temple is like our flagship. But these are the activities also that we should be doing at home. We can do a little bit of work with deity worship, keep it simple. Don't make it too complicated because it can become a burden very quickly. You've heard of the KISS principle, right? What was the KISS principle? Keep it simple. Otherwise you'll overburden yourselves. But, why do we have temples? Temples are places where we can come together as a community. Prabhupada knew this. The temple in an Indian village very often was the central focus of all of the activities at that location. Look at Tirupati as an example, but even Vrindavan. It focuses people's attention and it purifies. Narada Muni, who's what would you say? One of the greatest exponents of what? What's Narada Muni one of the greatest exponents of? What's he known for? Narada Muni Bhajaya Vina. What's next? I can't sing that much. Maradika Ramana Namine. So what's Narada Muni doing with his Vina?
Yeah.
I should have turned my phone off. Oranges. So what's he doing with his Vena? What's Narada Muni doing? He's playing his Vena, but what is he doing while he's playing his Vena? It's the same answer to the previous question and the answer that you gave for the first question. What is it? Chanti, yes, Chanti Hare Krishna. Yet, we also have the Narada Pancharatra. He also gives instructions on deity worship. Because for Neophytes, Prabhupada says, we, unlike Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata, who are Siddha, Nitya Siddha, pure hearted, right? We are, what are we? Well, I'm going to talk for myself. You're all Paramahansas, right? But I'm a conditioned soul with accumulated detritus in the heart. And so for those beginning devotees, if you like, or intermediate devotees, devotees who are purifying themselves, chanting Hare Krishna is, Palo Nasdeva, Nasdeva, Nasdeva. There's no other way, there's no other way, there's no other way, but it's also facilitated by deity worship. And so that's why we're all encouraged, to get our Brahma initiation and to worship the deity. Because by worshipping the deity, we're regulated. Right? We're regulated. We're also initiated into the Brahma Gayatri Mantra, the Gayatri Mantras, which are also very powerful, purifying mantras. Right? And again, coming back to this point, the point about Haridas Thakur in the Dvaita Vichari, is an incarnation of Krishna, so not that it's the same, but. The book distribution, the Harinam, the chanting of Hare Krishna, this is the Bhagavat Vidhi. And then the deity worship is known as the Pancharatra Vidhi, or the Pancharatrika Vidhi. Can you go and see Kundal Dharam from there, what she wants? She may be at that place. Give her a call, I have no problem with it. And tell her to switch off and watch. Whilst the chanting of Hare Krishna is our primary practice, we still need the deity worship for that purification of those impressions from our past material activities. This is why we have these, this is why I have the deity worship, why it's so important that we don't discard the deity worship. So, the Vedic Acharya, and Prabhupada mentions that there are people who want to introduce, there are devotees who are keen to start worshipping the Charanam Shila. But Prabhupada says, we will introduce it when we see that the devotees are steady in their Brahman qualities. Right? We see that there's that steadiness, because that's also a quality of the Brahman, right? Samoa Dhamaska Pasok Chanda. Shanti, Raja, they live a very simple life, a very steady life, a very regulated lifestyle of Brahma. And a lot of that revolves around the deity worship. And so Prabhupada said, we'll introduce that, the worship of the Sovereign, because we're now worshipping the Charanam Shila in Melbourne. Oh, that's very interesting. In Los Angeles, Shravas, who's a DP, won't worship Charanam Shila. And his reason is Prabhupada didn't introduce it here. And Los Angeles used to be the headquarters of Islam. That was the headquarters. Now we kind of don't see Los Angeles as a headquarters. And the devotees were sent from here to Los Angeles to be trained in deity worship. A number of devotees, it was arranged for them to go to Los Angeles, because that's where Prabhupada first established deity worship. Elaborate worship of Radha and Krishna, Jagannath, Gaudiya, and that's where our current standards come from. So, Jagannath Mishra was a Siddha, Nija Siddha devotee. And so the Lord appeared naturally, in a sense, here. The Lord is in everybody's heart. Okay? Krishna is in everybody's heart. But, okay, how many here are seeing Krishna in their heart? Please raise your hands.
What's wrong with us?
Right, we know Krishna's in our heart. But how many of us are communing with Krishna and actually see Krishna within our heart? Right? And then compare us with a devotee like Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra dreamt that the Lord was in his heart. He could see the Lord within his heart. And so did the other residents of Navadvipa, because when they saw Jagannath Mishra, they were, in the God box.
Oh, okay.
In the God box. There's a
okay.
Yeah, she really was. I've got lock nuts on my wheels.
You couldn't find it in the
God box. Oh, okay. Yes, right. It's... I'm going to tell everybody to bring mine up. It's in the dashboard on the right hand side, just up underneath. There's a big blue, another blue tag, and it's in the blue tag. Yeah. I'm going to put it somewhere else. But you know, I'll tell you why. A few years ago, seven years ago, we just bought, this was a new car, and the Chinchuripa came out, it was Saturday morning, Chinchuripa at 4 o'clock in the morning came out to go to the market, and she noticed that the car wasn't on the side, right? And when she got to the car, she realised what was wrong. Two of the wheels had been taken, right? And she must have disturbed them, because usually what they do is they tip it over the other way, and take the other 2 wheels, because, you know, 4 wheels, what are you going to do with 2 wheels? Not a lot. And I'd do something. Usually I would put, because when I was living in Tank Street, next door neighbour had all of his wheels stolen. He had a brand new SS Commodore. We're okay, but we're all clear. So I stuck, you know, lock nuts on my wheels. But then when I bought the car, I thought, ah, should be right. You know, this doesn't happen anymore. And lo and behold, 2 wheels stolen. So my advice, if you've got a new car and you're living out of the park, put lock nuts on your wheels, because if it's a desirable car. And then there are young boys that go around the neighbourhood and just try out opening up car doors, right? Because the wealthy people at Albert Park, some of them just don't lock their cars, right? And they find wallets and some, you know, Ray-Ban sunglasses and whatever. So anyway, we were distracted from the main point, which is pure devotees, right? Pure devotees. So Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata were so pure hearted that the Lord appeared within their hearts. The Lord appeared in Jagannath Mishra's heart, and then from Jagannath Mishra's heart, he was transferred to the heart of Sachi Mata. Which is why we call it this source, because that's exactly what took place in Krishna Lila. The Lord appeared in the heart of Vasudev, and then from Vasudev he was then transferred into the heart of Devaki, and then from Devaki's womb, because, you know, she the feeling of such matter also appeared now in Lord Chaitanya, but then when he was born, he appeared as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, what happened when Lord Chaitanya, when Sachi Mata became aware, or when they became aware that Sachi Mata was carrying, was expecting, shall we say, Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Mata had eight daughters, and they all didn't survive.
Aborted.
Huh? Aborted. Oh, I don't know about that. But, yeah, I wasn't going to say that. That's probably what happened. So, otherwise, yeah. So, very distressing. Extremely distressing. Can you imagine? Having eight children and none of them survived, could you imagine the distress? Very distressful. So what did Jagannath Mishra do? Who did he worship? He worshipped Lord Vishnu. We could assume he was also worshipping Shalabhram Shila. He was from a Brahmin family. And so very diligently he served Shalabhram Shila, and then Sachi Mata was expecting, and who was born? Who was born first? Yes, Mr. Go to the top of the class, by the way. Vishwarupa. And Vishwarupa was an expansion of Sankarsana. In fact, when he took sannyas, his name was Shankararanya, right? So, and it's very interesting, when Vishwarupa, when Sachi Mata and Jagannath Mishra were arranging for his wedding, what did he do? Left home. Left home. And yeah, eventually took sannyas, was given the name Shankararanya. And interestingly, he left his body in Pandapur. Anybody here been to Pandapur? Amazing place. When you go to Pandapur, it's like being in the garden. Really, like, it's powerful, really powerful place. And you can see Vital and Rukmini, isn't it? Vital and Rukmini. And yeah, it's quite. And you know, on a Kodasi, thousands and thousands of pilgrims go to see Vital and Rukmini. And it's interesting in that place that, you know, they have a queuing system. Indian temples have, you know, these old temples have queuing systems because you get thousands of people, so you've got to line up. So outside the temple, they've got this big stand. So you walk up the stairs and then you walk back down again. That's one of the ways that they manage the ground. Their ground control is get people to walk up and then walk down. And that way they line up. And I remember seeing an interesting thing in, you know, in Mundaboor. People go there and then they jump up and down in front of the things like this. Ooh, that's odd. You know, if you're not used to that. You know, another thing that I found odd in India was the celebration of Holi. Right? And the first time I went to Mayapur, you know, on Gaur Purnima day, I was confronted by these pink, green, and purple men. What are all these people doing? don't go out because you get sprayed. And I was so fearful. As to me, it's like, you know, I don't want to walk around pink green. But these people obviously, they would enjoy, you know, walking around being pink green and purple. But for me, it was such a, you know, India, my first visit to India was such a culture shock. It was so, we got off the plane in Madras, and we went on a bus to Mahabalipuram, which was a great resort. You know, we woke up in the morning and all the waves were out in the surfs, you know, body surfing, they were having a great time. And I was thinking, well, what's all this Maya? I was a rather old man, sorry, that's what I'm but the thing that really shocked me was driving through the streets of Chennai and there were hundreds of people sleeping on the footpath. I kid you not, you've probably seen it in Calcutta or wherever, in the big city, and I thought, you know, because, you know, for us, where you sleep is your bedroom. And that's kind of like your inner sanctum, right? And I was thinking, these people's bedroom is on the sidewalk. Where do they live? Right? And that meant they didn't have a home. But if you're sleeping on the sidewalk, what does that mean? If you're sleeping on the sidewalk, what does that mean?
No home.
Huh? No home. No home. Yeah, no home. It was such a shock for me that, you know, I've been brought up in a very middle class upbringing. And to see people sleeping on the street, it was like, oh, wow, this is heavy. But, you know, India is a heavy place. So, but anyway, yeah, good point. Heavy place, and also on holly, pink, green, purple, green. Destroying their clothes. You know, so I was in fear. I was a brahmachari, I only had two curlers and two dhotis. So I got out there. I only keep my dhoti and curler saffron, not purple, pink and green. So anyway, Lord Chaitanya was, so Vishwarupa was born. And then he eventually left home, and then Lord Chaitanya was expected, shall we say. And Lord Chaitanya was in his mother's womb for 13 months. Right? And Prabhupada mentions that a child generally is born after 10 months. Right? So can you imagine the mothers here? How would you like to have a child for 13 months? You'd be in a bit of anxiety, right? You're in anxiety with 9 months. Or like just recently from the Gunners, 89 had a seizure because the child was overdue by a month, right? So what? So Lord Chaitanya Jagannath Mishra was concerned. You know, when will my child be born? And so Nilambara Chakravarti, Duke Jagannath Mishra's father, checked the almanac, I guess, you know, the equivalent of the almanac. And then he noticed that there was a full moon coming. And of course, a full moon with an eclipse. You know, sometimes what happens in astronomy, there's a lunar eclipse and everybody's looking out, there's an eclipse, what do we do? Chant Hare Krishna. That's what you do. We chant Hare Krishna. Yeah, when I joined ISKCON in the Bhagavad State earlier, in ISKCON, this whole notion that there was an eclipse and there's inauspicious and you can't eat anything, you can't sleep, you can't go outside, and anything that's touched by the moon's rays is contaminated. We never heard of it. We never heard of it. Prabhupada, you look in Prabhupada's books, you won't find it mentioned anywhere. What? What's the tradition? Because it is considered to be, you know, it is considered to be inauspicious. And so what does the Prabhupada explain? What were the devotees doing? What were the Hindus doing at the time of the lunar eclipse, which was calculated by Imambara Chakrabarti as being the auspicious time when Lord Chaitanya would appear, but traditionally would also be considered inauspicious, right? So what were they doing? They were in the Ganga, right? Who said they were in Chakrabarti? They were, especially on the eclipse. And they were in the Ganga, and what were they doing? Chanting Hare Krishna. So that's why it's the most auspicious. Because even though it was inauspicious, and of course, Kali Yuga is considered to be an ocean of inauspiciousness, right? An ocean of inauspiciousness. But what's its good quality? The chanting Hare Krishna. So when Lord Chaitanya appeared, he appeared amidst all of this holy name. And even it's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Not only were the Hindus chanting Hare Krishna, but so were the Muslims. Right? Imitating and somewhat mocking the Hindus. And we get that sometimes when we go on hanging out. Not so much these days. We used to get it a lot. Do we get that? Not so much, but we do. You get people chant in an imitating fashion, right? They don't know what they're doing. And they're making fun of the devotees, but the devotees are just smiling. Just like, you know, there was a devotee called Giridhari Rupa, Prabhupada's disciple. And he used to work in a city in Sydney, and he worked in a fruit and veg shop. And when the devotees used to come along, he used to throw rotten vegetables and fruit at the devotees. And of course, eventually he became a devotee. So the devotees don't mind. If they're getting paid attention to, even by the demons, they're just laughing because sooner or later they're chanting Hare Krishna, they're going to be purified. So, Lord Chaitanya's appearance, even though it was in a lunar eclipse, because there was the chanting of Hare Krishna, and Nilambara Chakrabarti, because he was such an expert astrologer, he could see, even though, and of course it was worrying, that Lord Chaitanya is in the womb of his mother for 11 months, or how many of it was. It was certainly after the time that he should have been born, but he could see that Lord Chaitanya would appear in this auspicious circumstance. And of course, that then herald the purpose of his mission, the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, is to establish the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the world. And of course, that was also Srila Prabhupada's mission, Srila Prabhupada being empowered by Lord Chaitanya, was able to fulfill the purpose of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and fulfill the prediction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that chanting Hare Krishna will be heard in every town and village. So we're very fortunate to remember the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his Adiyila, if you like, his appearance. And we can meditate on the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is to distribute the holy name far and wide, to give it to everybody. But to also remember the context in which we do that. We do that as a preaching community. We we do that as a cooperative effort. And you know, even though Prabhupada said you can shut the temple, well, you can shut the temple. Of course, he didn't mean close the temple. You can shut the temple to go on our own harm, but still, temples are super important for us. And it's within that context of establishing a preaching community, a community of devotees that comes together to glorify Lord Chaitanya through the chanting practice, but also come together to worship Gauri Thai, there's a potency in that activity. There's purification in that activity. There's focus. There's focus. And that's why Srila Prabhupada puts on that effort and the attention into establishing, well, getting us all to chant Hare Krishna, but also establishing temples. Because it's like our base. It's like, you know, it's the foundation from which we then launch our efforts to influence and to purify others and to make learnings. And, you know, it's very practical. If we go out and chant Hare Krishna, which is what we're supposed to do, and if we go out and distribute books, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? If we give books to people, what does happen? We give books to people who chant Hare Krishna, which is our sankirtan activity. What happens? Yeah, they do. Yes, but what do they do?
Get their
practice.
Pardon
me?
They get their
practice. Oh, what's that?
They get their practice.
Yes, they get attracted. And so what do?
They
want
to dance somewhere.
Huh?
They want to dance somewhere.
Yes, they want to thank you. They want to go somewhere. Where do I meet you people? Huh? Where do I meet you? How can I find out more? Huh? And that's where we have the temple. Huh? And you know, what's a byproduct of deity worship? Have you noticed? What's a byproduct of deity worship? Yes. Rick Ashley knows. He's been away from Melbourne. Have you noticed how he's lost weight? No? You told my wife they didn't feed me properly. Oh, it's so weird. But and why do we, well, one of the reasons why we distribute, what's one of the reasons why we distribute the prasadam? Hmm? One of the reasons why we make prasadam so delicious. Huh? Well, so Krishna can enjoy it. Right? That's the main purpose. In one sense, the main purpose is to make sure that Krishna is happy. But also, when we distribute the prasadam, then after honoring the prasadam, the partakers can't forget it. Right? Like at the moment, there's the teacher who started cooking the milk sweets, and there's queues to eat the milk sweets. Right? She's cooking milk sweets that we used to cook in the 80s that haven't been seen or heard of around here for decades. And in fact, one lady told me, I keep on thinking about the birthday. And I remember the first time I went to the temple, you know, I was vegetarian. And I knew, you know, the offering food was special. Because the first book that I got was a cookbook. Right? Cookbook. And in the cookbook, in the beginning, it says, when you're cooking, you should meditate on offering to Krishna. And it tells you, you know, how to do the offering and stuff. Right? So it was a large boat, and I was just enjoying the show like anything. And there was a tomato chutney. Right. You know the Bengali tomato chutney? Prabhupada says, what does Prabhupada call it? He says, too hot to taste, but too sweet to resist. This is the, yeah, they're hot. They serve it hot in my book, the tomato chutney. And it's super sweet because it spills all over the place. It goes through the cracks in the leaf plate and on the floor, if you get enough. But, you know, when I went away from the temple, I was thinking, boy, I better go back to that place. I wouldn't have that tomato chutney again. So, you know, yes, we chant Hare Krishna. There's no doubt about it. The chanting of Hare Krishna is super important. But we don't neglect the worship of the deity, and we don't neglect the maintenance of the temple, because that's like our base, you know. And in that environment, or while we worship the deity at home. Because we need that as a basic or a foundational purification of our consciousness, so that when we're chanting Hare Krishna, it gives us the desired effect, where Krishna will automatically manifest within our hearts. You see, in the example of the Nitya Siddha devotees, Krishna naturally manifests. And that's what we want. What, you know, what we go through so much effort to chant our vows and to worship the deity. Why do we do that? So that Krishna will naturally manifest. Right? And as mentioned, you know, Krishna will only manifest in the heart of a pure devotee. That's what Vasudeva Devaki and Jagannath Mishra and Sachidev are emblems of that pure devotee. And of course, they're the devotees that we aspire to be as well. And yes, we do that by chanting Hare Krishna. And we preach the chanting of Hare Krishna. But, you know, and even though Prabhupada does say, you know, temple worship is not as important, but still, we know how much effort Prabhupada put into it. There's a good reason for that, because that's that worship of the deity, you know, that regulated lifestyle, which comes with worshipping the Archivigraha. You know, it's Krishna incarnate for us, right? And should be honored and respected. It's there, that's also part of the practice of chanting Hare Krishna, as recommended by Srila Prabhupada, by Rupa Goswami, by Narada Muni. Narada Muni is the, you know, he's famous for chanting. In fact, on the strength of his chanting, he can go anywhere, right? Who wouldn't mind being able to chant Hare Krishna so potently that wherever you wanted to go, you would just have to go there? Right? Don't have to worry about visas and passports and, you know, queuing up to get into a tin can. But even Narada Muni, with that Shakti, with that potency, he also gives instructions on how to worship the deity for the name, you know, for the devotees. Okay, so we're greatly fortunate and value what Srila Prabhupada has given us. He's given us the holy name. Empowered by Lord Caitanya, he's given us the holy name. But he's also given us the whole, as described by Guru Goswami, and as given in the 9 items of devotional service, he's also given us the, what is it? Kujanam. Kujanam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnam, Smaranam, Vandanam, Dasyam. What's the term, the Sanskrit term for the puja? Archana, yes, Archana. Yeah. Part of the whole process of bhakti. You get to it hearing and chanting, but the words of the deity is all part of it. So, you know, you shouldn't think, you know, I'm just a second time that I do. I don't have to do that, do you? Because what happens is the Sankirtan devotees, we used to see this, the Sankirtan devotees go out all the week without a deep worship, they come back like a bunch of cowboys, and lose their gentility. But with the deity words that are in the temple environment and the atmosphere, then they become gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, that's important. It's important. Okay, thank you, everybody. Yeah. Anybody have any comments or questions on any of these points?
I feel when you do the worship, you get to feel the Lord is the person.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's right. When you worship the deity, then you get the feeling that Krishna is a person. Very much so. Very much so. That's what it's all about. Yes. And also, when you're dealing with people or persons, you have to be considerate. Right? You have to be considerate. You have to think of others. You're trying to think of somebody else, not just yourself. Right? Yeah. You know, I was talking to a gym group the other day, and we were just talking about culture, right? And she was telling me that in Aboriginal culture, they don't celebrate birthdays. Right? Because, you know, for me, the focal point of life was your birthday. Because, you know, everybody says, oh, you're such a wonderful fellow. Right? Happy birthday. Happy stuff. And I thought, okay, you see, when's your next birthday? Oh, it's 12 months away. Right? And the kids will tell you, my birthday is on the 23rd of April this year. Just to remind you, we focus on ourselves. Right? Focus on ourselves, so it's quite egocentric. But it's very different in the Aboriginal culture. And so what happens, I know this, and I avoid doing this, asking, I don't ask a teacher for things, because if I ask, well, I'll tell you why. I do sometimes ask for things, but I don't ask for specifically, because teachers give it. And it's part of the culture. If somebody asks you for something, you just give it. Very personal. And that's why worshiping the deity is designed to bring out that personal consideration of Krishna. What is Krishna like? What is Krishna like? How is he? And that's manifest in, you know, today we've got a new set of clothes, right? And look at the decorations. We should thank Jayavada and numerous devotees for all of the garlands that they made, all of the beautiful vases that they made, and especially these peacocks. Are these peacocks brand new? They must be. We don't repeat, do we? We don't recycle. No, we don't need to recycle. So everything is fresh, which is, and look at the old day, especially these yellow vases. It's stunningly beautiful. Right? So we pay attention to what Krishna likes as a person. And that also teaches us to pay attention to what others like, and then what everybody else likes. We start thinking about our parents, we start. Well, most of you come from cults, so you do think about your parents. But I have to admit that I thought my parents were there to serve me. My My mother did tell me that love was spoiled. But it's the deep worship teaches us to focus on Krishna and to focus on Krishna's needs. And so, this whole notion of bhakti, bhakti rasa, is on pleasing Krishna. And of course, then we all know, there's no higher taste actually in life than serving Krishna. Right? We get pleasure out of serving mum and dad, we get pleasure out of serving our wives and our husbands and our kids. But it doesn't take long for it to sour. Right? the kids will say, I didn't ask to be born, you say you love me, but why don't you do what I want? And other disasters in life, right? But serving Krishna, even though it might be difficult, or even though it might be a grind, some days it's just a grind, right? Have you ever noticed that? You wake up, you start chanting Hare Krishna, and it says in the Shikshastikam, Anandam Gurivadanam Purnam Ritas Varanam, it's the perfection of pleasure, right? Amrita. Chanting Hare Krishna is supposed to be nectar, but we get up in the morning and it's like chewing cardboard. And it's just it's not really good, Hare Krishna. It just feels so hard. So, but in that, we finish our 16 rounds and we think, ooh, wow, that was interesting. But you feel so satisfied. So service to Krishna is just so, it is amrita. We're just in a jaundiced state where Rupa Swami explains that chanting Hare Krishna is naturally sweet, but because we're attacked, our tongue is attacked with the jaundice of ignorance and it tastes bitter. So the worship of the deity, the worship of Krishna, is, that's really the most satisfying thing. And it broadens our perspective on service, actually. The Prabhupada says at the beginning of the Nectar Devotion, our consciousness expands. When it expands to serving Krishna, what Prabhupada says, it's the switch that turns on the light of everything. So we see everything in proper perspective. Okay, I'm going to finish here. Conjuration of Bhagavatam.
Jai!
Prabhupada ki jai! Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu.